Welcome to A Woman's Clarity, a podcast that empowers financial professionals to better connect with and serve their female clients. Listen in as host Kirsten Schlumbaum, Vice President of Annuity Sales at C2P, and her guests help you speak the language of women clients and meet their unique financial needs and goals.
Hello, I'm Kirsten Schlumbaum, a host of Women's Clarity. This is part two of my inspirational conversation with Lindsay Lewis, Executive Director at the American College for the Center of Women in Financial Services and co-chair of Next Gen Advisory Task Force. Make sure to give part one a listen if you haven't already. Now let's jump back in.
I love it. It's the educational portion is so very important. Being able to educate and really help people understand. I love the fact that you're going to do a course on infertility treatments and talking with clients who may or may not have the same beliefs as you, because I chose not to have children. You chose to have two kids, but we can still have a really great conversation. But there are still some unconscious biases out there for those who choose to have multiple kids and those that choose to have none. So I love that you're educating on multi-levels, and it's not just surface. It goes deep. So really kudos to you for hosting those kind of conversations. Now, what strategies do you believe are essential for empowering the next generation of women, of minorities, and really embracing the diversity, equity, and inclusion movement in financial services and financial professionals? And how can institutions like the American College play a large role in this empowerment?
Yeah, if you look at the data, Cerulli just came out with that around 100,000 advisors plan to retire in the next decade. And that is between 35 to 40% of the current workforce. And that last year we had the industry grew at 0.005%. So more folks are leaving than entering. And the U.S. as a nation is shifting to a minority majority by the year 2050. And in the next decade, women will control $30 trillion of wealth, and that you're going to have another, 90 to 100 trillion that are transitioning typically through death, disability, or divorce over the next, couple of decades. You have this perfect picture for a very successful business model and strategy. And what's important about empowering and making sure people maintain their power coming into financial services is really through that education piece. We found that there is a direct correlation between confidence and credentials. So especially for women, once they receive a designation or pass licensure, that confidence increases, which allows them to attract and maintain more quality talent, more quality clients, and attract next gen talent as well. There are a couple of things that are very tangible that folks can do if you're in the industry. So let's say you're a man or non-binary person listening to this, it is being a great ally. And an ally means that you are advocating for this person. And that could be through a mentorship relationship where you could be the mentee or the mentor. Statistics show that if there's a mentor relationship, the retention rate of both the mentor and the mentee is much higher, as well as the probability of them being promoted is also much higher. So I think it's 2/3 of people think having a mentor is a great thing for their career, but less than 1/3 have a mentor. So that's something that you could implement in your firm or your practice today, is having a formal mentorship program or perhaps even an informal one. A couple of things to note there is that not including non-binary people in here, but men and women don't necessarily have a preference whether they work with a man or a woman mentor. However, when you see that men have an internal mentor, because if they have a man who's in leadership, then they are being brought up in conversations more frequently. But if a woman is trying to find a mentor who's a leader and wants, let's say, a woman, and there's not necessarily a woman in leadership, they might go external, which can still be very beneficial for them. However, they don't have someone who's at the table who's advocating for them. So if you are in a position of leadership, acting in that behalf or offering someone else, or helping out with, other people in our industry and in our organization have used me as a mentor in the past. If you want to participate in that relationship, that'd be cool. If there's someone else in the office I could introduce you to, I'd be happy to do that and just leave it there as an offering. So I think that's one way. And mentioned education through credentials, but also education around the landscape of financial services. Like I had mentioned in the past, like working at a wirehouse versus a broker dealer versus at an RIA versus at a fintech firm versus at an academic institution versus at an insurance backed institution are very different roles. But if you look at job descriptions, they look very similar. So it's really fuzzy. And, you know, like, do you own your book of business? Do you not own your book of business? Do you share client work? Do you share revenue with client work? Are you a salary based position? Are you commission based? Like, there's so many things that are really confusing. And I think that attributes to the retention rate and the dropout rate is like these rookies, like 72% of rookies are unsuccessful. But it's like, I don't know if that's the rookie's problem or if that's the institution's problem or if it's a combination of the both. But really empowering that next group of folks is really to understand what the model looks like. And so if you're a firm or you're a talent or you're a, you know, a talent recruiter, making sure you have that transparency of like, this is what it looks like, and paint the picture of success for that person. Because success at one firm is vastly different than success at a different firm. And success for that individual through self-perceived success could be very different. And that's what's challenging about financial services is like, historically in the past, you might have seen like assets under management, like you got a big book of business, you must be successful. But if you have low client retention, or, you know, like your book is aging so much that like by the time they pass away, like 70% of widows switch advisors within 24 months. Like if your book is really old and are aging and, you know, you have death, disability, divorce, anything like that, like they're going to someone else. And so fostering that relationship and making sure that you understand that next generation of clients and that they have different values in these. So what's really important for that next gen talent is education through credentials. It is making sure that you have an ally, mentor, sponsor, something like that. And then education around the industry at large.
I love that. I personally benefited from a female mentor at one of my past roles. I still stay in contact with her because she and I shared value for each other. So mentor-mentee relationships is not just the mentee learning, the mentor is also gaining from it. So I love that. And to be an advocate and ally in this industry for those that need it, 100% is an awesome, I feel like it's almost a responsibility that we have. And the education portion of the role that you're in, like we believe in education here at C2P, our career path and ladder training is all about helping people move up the ladder. We believe that through the right training, the right education, there's going to be the right retention of employees, as well as whether they're client facing or internally facing. So that's amazing. But you've had a lot of success in your life because you've worn these different hats, even though you say the roles look similar. You worked at different institutions with different culture beliefs and different viewpoints. So I'm going to turn the questions to more of a personal note with you, if you don't mind.
For those listening
are probably scratching their heads. I mean, you're very dynamic. You're very knowledgeable. But they probably are asking themselves, because I'm asking myself this as well, is success has a different meaning to everyone. How do you define your success?
Yeah, it is interesting because it changes over time. And I think through my personal development journey, I've definitely dove deeper into my values and things that are important to me. So understanding that, you know, my four core values of community, character, commitment, and cultivation. So like I know that about me. And so anything that I'm going to say yes to needs to align with my core values. And you know, success for me at one point was like, I need to pass the CFP. And then my next success is like, I need to make $100,000. And then my next success is like, I need to be in leadership. And the next success, you know, something like that. I'm an Enneagram 3. So I'm definitely an achiever. And that's, you know, part of my identity and part of my personality, maybe like half of my personality at this point. But it really is around like the success metrics and things like that. But what I have found in my life is like looking at life in a larger picture. So there are times in my life where I'm hyper-focused on like one pillar or one aspect. So now I have this like 9x9 matrix that I incorporate. So now like my type A is like really strong here, but I can send it to you, but it's like a little chart. It looks like a Rubik's Cube, but the 9 different categories. And so I have spiritual, intellectual, physical, environmental, social, occupational, financial, emotional, and fun. And so not every category you're going to be 100% in. In some categories, you might be low in, but it's also finding a person that can help you with that perspective area. And I think my success has really come from what I call becoming a village architect, and that is putting people into different places and different aspects of my life that will help buoy me up and help me, you know, have more in that perspective area where, you know, there are times in my life that I'm like, I am not a fun person. But then people would see me at like a conference and they're like, you're having a blast, you're having a good time. But I'm like so serious or I'm really intense. And so I found people that help bring out more of that fun aspect of me. So in financial services, success is, you know, typically painted as, you know, this many assets under management, or, you know, you're $1 million producer or whatever it is. But I have found for me, redefining success into different buckets. One thing that is extremely important to me that I found through my career is time autonomy. I love being in control of my calendar. If anyone sees it, I do so many proactive time blocks and they're like, I can get on your calendar for weeks. And I'm like, well, how important is this conversation? Because I can make adjustments, but, you know, I do a lot of time blocking and, you know, journaling and things like that. So I would say it's an evolution, but I really do look at those different nine pillars of life, and I will go through them one more time because I know I can go fast, but that's spiritual, intellectual, physical, environmental, social, occupational, financial, emotional, and fun. And, you know, this is just the beginning of whatever we perceive as success. But when I am focused on those areas and finding folks that can help enhance my life and provide more meaning and more development, then that is when I feel like I'm thriving.
So one thing I'm hearing, though, that you've done very well at is you know yourself. You've done the work to know yourself, and you put your tribe together to help you soar. How do you balance it all with being wearing all these different hats?
I mean, yeah, I outsource a lot of things. So there's this great book by Dan Martell called Buy Back Your Time. So it's like whatever your hourly rate is divided by four. And then if there's a specific task that is urgent and has to be done, but you don't like to do it, you can pay someone else to do it. So I have people in my life. I have, you know, someone that comes and picks up poop in my yard from my dogs. I have someone who comes and cleans my house. I have a person like someone who I pay out of my own money, like my own personal assistant to help me with back to school shopping or things like that. So like I have found places where I would spend so much time or get stressed. And I luckily am fortunate from an income aspect that I can, you know, outsource some of those things. I would say every day is different. So, you know, sometimes I, you know, might be doing better in certain areas or not. But that's why I like having those nine different buckets, because then I can be like, oh, you know what? I did really great at my job this week, but I wasn't as fun. And you can have a little bit more grace and autonomy there. I also try and figure out, there's this great book also called 4,000 Weeks. And you know that analogy of like, what are the big rocks? What are the small rocks? Of like, you have a jar to put in the sand, the little rocks first, and you can't fit the big rocks in. So if you put the big rocks in, you're going to be more successful. But the problem in this life is that there are so many different big rocks to choose from. Mm-hmm. And so learning more about your identity and yourself and choosing the big rocks that are important to you to go in your bucket. But there are definitely big rocks that you have to say no to. And I think that is something that I've learned over the last, you know, 18, 24 months is saying no to certain things. Like there are things that I'm extremely passionate about and I can't be on a plane every week, even though I'd love to do that. But I have, you know, two kids and I have other responsibilities, you know. So saying no to things, but also, you know, understanding yourself and your identity. I saw this post the other day that was like, you should always work harder on yourself than you do at your job. And I was like, that's interesting. But really on getting to know yourself, you do actually become a better employee, you become a better partner, you become a better spouse, you become a better parent. And now that I have that clarity, I can be like, okay, like I'm 100% present when I'm at this soccer game. Or yeah, it's wildly inconvenient that my daughter's dance class is on Friday at 10 a.m., but because I have time autonomy, I'm able to do that. So I think it's just understanding more about yourself, and then you can find what makes you thrive in your specific environment.
I feel like we could probably do a whole hour on discovering ourselves and yes, setting those boundaries so that we have the right focus for what we do. So I love that you shared that, because I'm constantly talking about boundaries are yours to manage. So how are you going to manage this? And it's important. So I love that. I love the way you think and the way you've done that. I love the 9 blocks and the Rubik's Cube thought mentality. But the biggest takeaway you just said, you give yourself grace.
Absolutely.
You're not giving yourself grace because none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. So I love that, because you understand that there are some times that something's going to fall through the cracks, but you give yourself grace to readjust and realign and do the things you need to do. So I know we're wrapping up on our time, and you are a very busy yet inspiring woman. If you could give words of advice to a woman listening to this podcast today, thinking about financial services or even joining the American College, what advice would you give her? Or actually, diversity, equity, inclusion, if they're non-binary or male, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, it's definitely a very important question. And just to comment on your boundaries comment, there's an amazing book by Melissa Urban, who's the founder of Whole30. It's called The Book of Boundaries. I recommend that to anyone that is a recovering people pleaser like myself. It gives you specific prompts, right? If someone violates a boundary, this is what you could say in response to the specific boundary. And they go through family and food and marriage and work. And so it's just an excellent resource for you. But bringing it back to your question of what advice I would give a woman who's listening to this podcast, it really is around, one, getting to know yourself and understanding your values and what's important to you. Because you can be a rock star financial professional, but if you are at a firm or a culture or an organization that does not align with your personal values, you will not thrive, right? And you will be, quote unquote, unsuccessful by their metrics. But then let's say that happens too. Like, don't think that every company and firm is the same across the board, where people will self-select out of financial services because they were put into a situation that did not set them up for their success. And they're saying, I'm out. Like, having that understanding. 2 is fine. 3 is finding a mentor. So finding someone that you can have that conversation with. And like you mentioned, like as a mentee, you can mentee up, right? So some people will say, like, I can't work with that person because, like, what do I bring to the table? Well, if you are under the age of 40, like, you are digital versus, you know, more tenured people, like, they do digital. So you can teach them, like, how to search for something on TikTok. And you might think that's, like, super easy. But for them, that might be a novel concept. So, like, there's definitely opportunity to mentor up, especially around a technology component. So if you are, like, a wizard at eMoney or Money Guy Pro and you integrate that at your firm, you can say, oh my goodness, did you see this one update that they have? And now you can look at cash flow in this way. And they may have never seen that from a mentor relationship. So you definitely have something to provide. And my last one is that you always deserve a seat at the table. And that, you know, if you're there and you're questioning, like, why am I here? Should I be here? Like, if you're there, you're there. And the most important thing with that is that when you're there, frequently I've seen with women underrepresented groups, they experience or participate in what I call horizontal oppression. Some might call this queen being or whatever. It's where you attack someone who is also part of a marginalized community because you are threatened that there's only one opportunity out there, right? Like, there's only one woman that can be at the seat at the table. And so I cannot help this female advisor because that's going to be my seat. And if I help her, that could be her seat. Like, we can get a whole nother table or whatever, but participating in horizontal oppression, no, it doesn't help you. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help anyone in this equation. So it's really about knowing yourself, getting a mentor, getting educated, doing all that. And, you know, confidence is really around your ability to trust yourself. So you can gain confidence by trying new things and being educated and getting those credentials. And this industry can be a place where women and underrepresented groups, they can thrive.
Lindsay, I feel like I could listen to you all day. I love what you're telling me. You're speaking to my heart, and I am so grateful that you took the time to share that everything with us. You bring such inspiration and knowledge, and I'm going to go get myself a Rubik's Cube. I'm going to do this. You've inspired me to even take my game to the next level. So thank you so much for being here with us and sharing. I hope to have you on in the future with more great and exciting news and new and innovative ideas that you come across. So thank you for being here.
I'm happy to be here, happy to come back. And if any of you want to, you know, schedule time with me, you can find me on LinkedIn, Lindsay Lewis, MBA, CHFC, CFP, or on your social platform of choice at Influencing Finance. And I'd love to continue the conversation. Like I mentioned, I opened my calendar up because I am so passionate about this next generation being able to thrive within financial services.
Thank you for sharing that, Lindsay. And for those of you listening, she means it. Reach out, grow with us, grow with Lindsay. And whatever you do today after you get done with this podcast, make your day a great day. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to A Woman's Clarity, brought to you by C2P, an organization whose purpose is to educate, train, grow, and support holistic financial advisors so families can achieve true prosperity. Subscribe now and never miss an opportunity to learn how to become a more proactive, holistic advisor to the fast-growing female client base. Visit c2penterprises.com to learn how we can help support and enhance your business. At the time of delivery and any subsequent publishing, information was deemed reliable but is subject to change by the time of listening or viewing. The contents of this piece include options and projections of C2P, are subject to change, and are for informational purposes only. The information provided in this presentation is not intended to be individual investment, tax, or legal advice.